So my pod OG, my pod father, Robert Evans, taught me a term that I'm about to immediately put into practice. It's called the first mover advantage. Apparently, there's a whole evolutionary psychology wing about this idea. And it's the idea that, like, a person who has such an irrational, inflated view of their abilities, coupled with a completely misinformed view of the situation, often has an advantage because they're moving first. And if we were fighting over a piece of meat, you know, in the African savannah, the guy that doesn't understand that this thing is full of lions has an advantage of the person that knows is full of lions. So they not just going to run into the open fields to get this piece of meat to bring home. They're going to take a second because it's like, well, you can't just be running in there. So this person's like, I'm going to go get it. I can handle it. You know, goes and gets. And in that sense, that's the person who gets the meal for the day. And it's not so much that they were stronger. It's that they was misinformed. And it becomes an advantage because the other person not going to move because we got sense enough not to. And then what sucks about it is you can't tell that person nothing because fool, it worked. They got the meal for the day. They taking it back to their family. And the lion ain't eat them. It's called the first mover advantage. Now, me, I've been a lightweight my whole life. So my daddy used to tell me, you know, they used to say, you know, if you're never in trouble if you didn't throw the first punch. My daddy was like, you better throw that first punch. You know what I'm saying? When that man get close and that little boy get close enough to you, make your move. Cause if he get one clean one on you, you done. So I, being of sound mind, used the first mover's advantage to my advantage. Now, me, I was fully aware of the situation. I just thought if I could make this other person think there's something about me that they don't know, the fact that I'm not scared, the fact that I am moving forward, the fact that I am taking a punch on somebody twice my size, right, that I'm not backing down, makes them believe maybe this boy knows some jiu-jitsu or something. Maybe he carrying something. Maybe he got some homies from around the corner because he real confident right now. It's like three of us. This little nigga by himself, he not scared. Maybe it's something I don't know. So I'm using it to my advantage. Of course, I'm terrified. I'm actually very aware of what's happening, but I'm going to show myself as much more confident. Sometimes you catch a fade. Sometimes you don't have to fight at all because it worked. So what psychologists had called that ability to run into a situation with an overinflated confidence, they called that the first mover's advantage. The hood just calls it feeling froggy. Oh, you feeling froggy? You better jump. Mean you think you can handle this situation? Go on, bust a move then. I want to talk about some of these Capitol riot defendants defending themselves in the court of law and not taking no lawyers. Politics.
How you so hood right now? Hood politics, y'all. Hood politics.
I know you know a guy like this, and I don't even have to ask you because I know you know a guy. A dude that's like a six at best, but he running around here with like some of the, he just be bagging the baddest, just baddies. And yeah, wonder like, how do you keep bagging these just, man, these are baddies. And it's the confidence. Because everybody else got sense enough to not walk up to this person who's like a California 10, you know what I'm saying? Because you know you a six. You feel me? Don't matter though. The swagger, the confidence, it go a long way. This mug is glorious. I'm so excited. Let me tell you something. When I learned what the Dunning-Kruger effect meant, way back when the flat earth thing was happening, that's when I learned what the Dunning-Kruger effect meant. Because people was talking about they research, they running these math and stuff like that. Now, I'm, you know, I have postgraduate studies under my belt. I know what it means to research. I know how hard research is. I understand how to look up a scholarly journal, look up dissenting voices. I understand how to test a source. I understand how to not just click a Wikipedia page, but click the footnotes. I understand how to do all these things. And I've noticed the do your research people seem to usually not know how to research. But they so convinced. And I didn't know there was a term for that, especially talking to these flat earth folk that was just like, with all these different things, and I just want to write them off as conspiracy theorists, but when you talking to astrophysicists, when you talking to people that been to space, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, it's like, this ain't the fit, we been there. I'm like, this how gravity work. You could see how gravity work in holding an orange. I'm about to give y'all a super interesting experiment in understanding how the earth is a sphere. If you take an orange, right, an apple, and you just kind of take your knife and just like cut a slit, just a straight slit in one of the pieces, you know that the slit is going to be curved, right? It's going to be curved because you're on a curved surface. Now, go look at the Bering Strait. Go look at the Japanese islands. They're curved because the earth's round. Anyway, I didn't know the word for somebody. I used to say this fool read the back of three books, thinks he's an expert. You know what I'm saying? It's a Dunning-Kruger effect. It's the opposite of what I struggle with, which is the imposter syndrome, right? So Dunning-Kruger effect is like this overinflated assessment of your own knowledge about stuff. This is the dude that's sitting across from the astrophysicist telling them that they're sheeple. You know what I'm saying? Person who given themselves to this study their whole life, right? The imposter syndrome is the person that knows but kind of feels like maybe everybody will find out that I'm a fraud. Maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. You know, that's my situation. I'm super insecure in a lot of ways, even about hood politics, about this show. I'm insecure about my ghetto card. I'm insecure about my politics. I'm insecure about my education. I'm insecure about a lot of this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Knowing full well, I got the receipts to prove the work I've done. And I mean, I know where I'm from. I live there. You know what I'm saying? I was there. But I still sometimes feel a little, you know what I'm saying? I feel a little like, dang, am I fronting? You know what I'm saying? And anyway, Dunning-Kruger is the opposite. I got this. I couldn't figure out. I didn't know there was a term for it until then. And now Robert gave me a new one. And that's the first mover's advantage. You so know what you're talking about. And I realized, oh, that means feeling froggy. You really finna step to this OG? You really finna like you need to think twice about this move, big homie. Ah, they ain't gonna do shit. I'm like, oh, word? I'm not sure you know who you dealing with. And then it'd be crazy because sometimes that mug be working. Listen, the fact that we even talking about this is proof of concept. They actually breached the Capitol and ain't nobody dead. I'm like, you can't tell them nothing. Dog, had I successfully got into and put my feet on Nancy Pelosi's desk, I would be like, you can't tell me nothing. I would be like, I can jump off this roof and fly. There's nothing that can stop. That's the way I would feel too. Now, it's comedy for all of us when it don't work. And that's kind of what, unfortunately, this is what we want. We want them fails. Like, we want that person with the inflated understanding of themselves to get their comeuppance because it's funny, right? And it feels a lot like justice. So this ancient human on the African savannah, right, who, while one man was standing in the high brushes, calculating his time to grab the ancient rabbit. And then freaking Earl, Neanderthal Earl over here, just like walks in and grabs the thing. And you're like, this mug is full of lions. You hope the lion eats Earl's ass. That's what you hoping. I'm hoping these two lions walk out, look at each other and be like, damn, nigga, dinner. That's what you hoping. Because it's like, who you think you are, bro? But then when Neanderthal Earl just pick up the rabbit and walk back to the brushes, you frustrated as hell. Why did this shit work? When is you gonna learn? When is them lions... Look, you like, at some point, them lions gonna eat you. There used to be a saying, even among, like, when kids was, like, hard-headed or, like, little homies in the streets who always felt froggy, they would say, hey, he need his ass beat. He just need one good ass kicking. And that's what they're trying to say is like, that's going to teach you. Oh, nah, man, he just needs his ass beat. You know, you step to the wrong person. They say one time, you gonna step to the wrong person. You going to jump to the wrong person. They're going to beat your ass. Like, and it's because it's like you need to have a more calibrated view of your abilities is what we hoping. Because I think somewhere inside of us, we all either want justice or want to see dummies get their comeuppance. Because, not gonna lie to you, it's kind of funny. Now let's get to it. I'm pulling from a couple articles about these January 6th insurrection defendants. A lot of them pled guilty, and they pled guilty to like lower charges, which is, I mean, duh, that's what you should do. You know, trespassing, you know what I'm saying? Breaching. Some of them decided to beat cops with flags. So they facing some real shit out this mug. But remember, they think they patriots. They think this 1776. These people's, you know, on their sovereign citizen websites, they got their brain cooked. They positive. COVID's a scam. The government was stolen. I mean, you can't have gallows outside for the damn vice president. You feel me? Your brain cooked. You positive, you right. Positive. So some of these people is like, I'm going to defend myself in the court of law because they trying to prove a point that the court's a joke anyway. I don't respect y'all at all. That's some people's points. Other people's point is like, I want to show, and it is my right as a citizen to defend myself. Now, let me quote this. It's probably my favorite quote in every article I've read about this. It's Michael Magner. He's a New Orleans criminal defense lawyer and a former federal prosecutor. And he said, just because you have the constitutional right to do something doesn't necessarily mean that it's smart. You got the absolute right to shoot yourself in the toe. That don't mean you should. Yes, you got the right to do this. It is a protected, sacred constitutional law for you to defend yourself, for you to not choose a lawyer. And I get it. Lawyers be crooked. And defense attorneys, they be just getting that check. And especially if you can't afford one, you about to get a court-ordered one? You mean to tell me the person defend me actually work for the system that prosecuting me? I get it. But fam, I'm not sure you know what you're getting into. You want another quote? Check this out. Quote, I would never represent myself if I were charged with a crime. This is the U.S. District Judge Royce Labyrinth. He told Alan Hoistetter before allowing him to handle his own defense against riot charges. The judge warned the ex-police chief that he has never seen anyone successfully represent himself in his appointment to the bench since 1987. Listen, the judges and the lawyers, even the people who finna prosecute them, is like, fam, this is a bad idea, my G. Like, I'm trying to tell you, look, I want to win, but listen, what you doing? You feeling real froggy, homie, right? Hostetter was arrested in June along with five other men on charges that they conspired to stop the Congress from certifying Joe Biden's victory. This is from HuffPost. In a president election, the indictment links four of Hostetter's co-defendants to the Three Percenters, a wing of the militia movement. And now you're really in the hood territory, because not only do these people got you on a conspiracy, they also got you with the gang uptick. Now, you out here, we out here running our red and blue flags and then be like, nah, I don't bang. I'm not a part of that. Nigga, yes, you are. If they got you on the hook, on the gang uptick, and you is so, you feel so froggy that you could get out of this, I need you to talk to some hoodsters. Listen, in my clack, clack, clack days, the reason why I got away with some stuff was they couldn't tie my tag to no tagging crew. Because had they been able to tie me, this would be a very different podcast. Check this out. Hostetter, who began teaching yoga after 20 years as an officer, told Lambert that the corruption of this investigation is one reason he wants to represent himself. Also, his finances are a factor. My man said, I believe it's a governmental strategy and tactic that if they can't convict you, they at least want to bankrupt you, Hostetter said, and to which I would say, amen. That's the hard part about stuff like this. Another defendant representing himself is Brandon Fellows. He's an upstate New York and recently unsuccessfully petitioned U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden to release him from jail. And here's where the world get real cold. You know, McFadden was nominated by President Trump and also jailed self-represented defendant Pauline Boyer last month for failing to comply with court orders to cooperate with probation officers during her pretrial release. Dog, I bet you thought you pulled you a good judge. You feel me? A judge that was nominated by your boy Trump and they still locked you up, cut. Like, you got to be real salty right now. And this law-abiding citizen, she was on video on police officer's body camera saying, bring out Speaker Pelosi to be hanged. She on video. So let's pause for a second and say, this woman just threatened the lady's life and it's on camera, and she was out on bail. She was on probation. She wasn't even in the brink. This lady wasn't even locked up. This why these people's confidence is off the charts. Because they got the rabbit. You can't tell them nothing. So it's what I'm bugging out is some of these people might, they might get off. That's what I'm tripping off. It might work. These people that don't know what the hell they doing, it might actually work. You ever been walking through a neighborhood and you seen this little teeny dog losing its just flared up, just losing his mind on this big old Doberman, big old huge pit bull, Rottweiler, just big, and this little teeny purse dog just barking up. So you just thinking, man, I don't understand why this is even an issue. But that big old dog kind of backing up a little bit. It's because the little dog, and you just think, dog, that little, he actually won. That little dog just won that. He just won that fight. Big dog backed up like, oh, hold up. Maybe, okay, it's your world. It's your world. You got it. You got it, little dog, like, hey, fuck, nigga. You know what I'm saying? My street blood. I don't know why the dog sound like that, but they little. Anyway, I just kind of wonder if these people feel so froggy. They gonna J.A. so confident about their abilities, they might mess around and work. Now, what I'm hoping happens is what keeps happening right here where the judge is like, sir, ma'am, go on, sit down somewhere. Like the old folks would say, just sit down somewhere. You can't watch Law and Order and think you know what the hell you talk. I object. You can't object to this, sir. This ain't a, you. There's one story a person had to cross-examine their own homie. Like, you don't know what you doing. I remember when the old California police chief decided to represent himself. They said, hey, he would have a fool for a client. This is so great. Now, where does all this come from? You could look at some of the Associated Press stories, Law and Crime, some of the Rome Sentinel. Like, this is being covered in a lot of different spaces. And here's what I think is going on here is I believe they believe they're the smartest person in the room, just like they big homie. You know who that hero is. Do I got to spell it out for you? That man really believes, honestly, he's the smartest man in the room. And if anybody has ever read a briefing, you know this man don't know what the hell he's talking about. But you know what? He became president. The man won. That's why you can't tell him nothing. He won given the equivalent of book reports that you wrote from Cliff Notes. Did anybody watch did y'all watch him at all? The man don't know what he's talking about. Listen, I understand that he's likable because he's funny. Especially when he's not trying to be funny, he's funny. It's funny as hell because he just sound like your uncle. And you thinking sometimes, you know, my uncle kind of know what he's talking about right now. I'm going to slide into some controversy here. It's Lil Boosie. Lil Boosie is funny. Sometimes he kind of sound like he don't know what he talking about. But a lot of times he does. He a OG. I appreciate a OG when I hear it. The man been through a lot. And you will never catch me slandering another black man. But there are sometimes he became all of our like our grumpy uncle. I saw this man break every Twitter rule in one tweet when he tried to go after Lil Nas X. The man is like, it's just stuff he just don't rock with, specifically around the LGBTQ community. He'd be saying some wild out of pocket stuff about them. And you can hear in his interview with Mike Tyson asked him about self-respect. He like, what that is. He just the street, like, I no disrespect to the OG. But I get it. And I'm not saying he Donald Trump. I'm just saying we have a place in our hearts for people we recognize. Like, I recognize that about, I recognize Boosie because that's like, I know that. There's one interview when somebody asked him, you know, because he's got a lot of baby mamas. Like, what would he do different if he could go back? And he said, well, if I could go back, I wouldn't have skeeted in all these different women. I would have skeeted in one woman. This nigga said, I wouldn't have skeeted in. And here's what sucks. It's like, that's actually, I mean, that's wise. You shouldn't have a lot of baby mamas, man. Fall in love with a woman, you know what I'm saying? And like, try to start a family. You know, it's really difficult navigating a lot of different women. But fam, my man said skeeted. So when I look at these white people willing to storm, they looking at Trump because they like, oh, I know this. But you got to have sense enough to know that that man didn't know what the hell he was doing. I just objectively, he didn't know what he was doing. But it don't matter. It's the law of first movement. He felt froggy and jumped. And the homie won. No wonder these people down to represent themselves. They boy won. They got, to them, they got proof of concept. Shit work. Just Check this out. This New Hartford man accused and participating in the January 6th riot and attack on the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. will be allowed to represent himself in federal court. His name's Eric Bokshny. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Of 19 Pinecrest Road appeared virtually before the judge, Randolph D. Moss, on Thursday, where he made an oral argument to allow himself to be his own attorney, according to the court records. He's charged with two counts of knowingly entering and remaining in a restricted building on the grounds without lawful authority and violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. The court records show that Judge Moss granted his request. His former defense attorney, federal public defender John Gilsnan, will act as standby counsel. So this man has been granted this. Now, here's what I'm picturing. I'm picturing loudmouth little homie like, "What's up, nigga? I'm with the shits. I want all the smoke." And the OG just being like, "Now, are you sure? Are you sure you want this? Okay, because I'm finna dog walk you. But I'm trying to be calm right now." I want y'all to, if you got a chance, to go listen to or go see the video from the homie Bamboo De Pistolas, the Samoan cricket bat. I think that's what it's called. And in this video, it's pretty raw. But as Bamboo is acting in this, I don't want to ruin the video, but this guy approaches him and he essentially says, "Hey," like puts his hand up like, "Hey, don't do this. I don't want to do this." And then the guy pushes him and he says, "Hey, look, one more time, don't do this." Y'all don't know, Bamboo is trained in like multiple martial arts. And then he arm bars this fool, right? And he try to tell you not to do this. "I try to tell you not to do this. I got a cousin like this. That's like, my cousin is, he was picked on a lot. People always underestimated my little cousin. I was never worried about him because he could scrap. But like people all, and he would mop these bullies. He would mop them. And it's because they just underestimated. But he would warn them like, listen, y'all got to stop picking on me. They thought he was an easy comer. He would mop these fools because he's not like aggressive like that. Like he's not like a toxic kind of like masculine kind of dude. Like he's not like that. Like, so they would assume that he didn't have hands. My cousin had hands and he would just put it on these fools. So I think, look, the judge is like, "Okay, you sure you want this? Cause we finna mop you." Now, I got no predictions. I mean, I have some, but I'm not sure. I think it's very possible, in the same way that Trump became president, some of these people might get off. Others might get laughed out this courtroom. I'm just here for the comments, though, because I can't wait to see how bad their defense is. I can't wait to see how they bring some of the most sovereign citizen, most laughable conspiracy theories. And when they just jump up and say, "I object," as if this is like, you can't handle it. They just quoting movies because you don't know what the hell you talking about. I can't wait for that because it's funny. And I'm pretty sure there's going to be moments where I'm going to be like, that shit actually worked. Because look, I don't understand how we here in the first place. It's all recorded. Y'all's faces, you did it. We all know you did it. I don't understand what your defense is. The earth saw it. You don't have a defense. Here we are. Neanderthal Earl. He about to go grab this rabbit. And us Homo sapiens sitting on the side of the savannah looking at them hungry lions being like, are y'all going to eat him or not? You really going to let this man walk in here and get this rabbit? Oh, well, okay, I guess he felt froggy. Because there's a lot of times in the last 4 years, fools should have got slapped down immediately when they felt froggy, but they didn't. It worked. We shall see. If you feeling froggy, you might as well jump. Hood Politics. Y'all, this mug was recorded and edited by me, Propaganda, right here in East Los Boyle Heights, Los Angeles. Y'all can follow me at Prop Hip Hop on all the socials. You can follow the Hood Politics Pod itself at Hood Politics Pod, where we be trying to make takes on stuff that aren't really big enough for a whole episode, but definitely needs a little bit of clarity. This mug was scored, edited, mixed, and mastered by the one and only Headlights. Y'all go follow my dog, Matt Oswowski. I still don't know how to say his name. I'm glad he changed it to Headlights. Follow him on his socials at Headlights_music. Telling you, hear all these new other fly tracks this fool be making. And the theme music was done by the one and only Gold Tips, DJ Sean P. And y'all remember, every time you check in, if you understand the hood, you could understand politics. Shouts to iHeartMedia for making this happen.